Father, we just thank you for this time. Just ask your blessing on them. Lord, I pray that you prepare our hearts to hear from you. And we might learn from you. That whatever step, Lord, that might be put just into the recesses of our minds that and of our hearts, so that when there's that time when it would be important to us, that you would draw whatever you bring out this time and go, oh, I remember that. Yeah. Lord, just minister to us through your word. We cast your blessing on it in Jesus' name. Moving along in Matthew, again, I stated last week that the Jewish people, when they measured whether or not they were righteous, do you remember the three areas I said they would be?
Prayer, tithing, and sacrifice?
It's kind of sacrifice. The other two are absolutely right. Prayer, tithing, and fasting. And that was their measure of their righteousness. And that's what this section here, we talked about their giving last week. Really important to remember. Doesn't say, don't do it this way, don't do it. It says, when you do it, do it the right way. Don't do it to be seen. Now, last week, actually, they used, don't do this in front of people like the hypocrites do, for they do it and they like to be honored by men. Now this week it's going to be just a little bit different, but he still, remember, then I referred back to another verse that I said was the key for this whole section. And that was Matthew 5:20. Remember what it said it on? It said that, be sure that your righteousness exceeds, is better than that of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. Or you're not getting to heaven. In other words, they're not getting to heaven. Okay? What they're doing, they're not getting to heaven. They're faking it. The pretenders. They're playing the part. That's why he calls them hypocrites. That's why later on he says, you look good on the outside, but you're dead. You know, again, we can look around and we can watch people go through all the right motions. You know, we can watch, for all the way, you can have pastors who stand up front and do all the right stuff. You can have any of us who, you know, oh, we're very devout. Maybe we'll get up and read our Bible every day. We'll pray every day. We'll pray and say grace good. We'll do all the things on the outside. But the fruits, you know, how are we doing it? Giving to others of ourselves. How are we doing at being loving? How are we doing at looking out in the... Is our life about others? Or is our life all about us? You know, God says, I desire mercy, not a sacrifice. I don't want to see what you can do. I don't need the performances. I need the truth in the heart. He goes on this week and he says, when you pray, again, just like last week, when you give, when you pray, not if, the expectation is that you need to. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners. Okay? What's one of the first things that kind of should stand out to you there as unusual in how we think about prayer? What's the atypical vision when somebody's praying? What do you see in your mind?
Eyes closed, head bowed, hands crossed, whatever.
Okay, so you're even of a newer school. When I was young, it was always, you're on your knees by the side of your bed with your hands
on your bed.
Huh?
With your elbows on your bed, your hands pushing
you down. Yeah, or like this. But basically, you're kneeling in prayer. And then here it says, when they stand. on the corners. Do you know anything about the Islamic faith?
Yeah.
Okay. What's their prayer ritual?
Like every certain hours or a certain amount of hours each day, like at a certain time they face the
Mecca.
Yeah, they face the Mecca and they pray and they mm-hmm. get down on their hands or their knees and put their hands on the ground and pray.
Yep. Okay. Now, do you know that the Jews used to be very somewhat similar and still can be? Do you know that there was a certain time, certain hour, when it hit that hour, it was two times a day, and you were supposed to pray? And they happened to be walking along the street corner, they'd stop right there, start praying. Now, have you ever read that you know of in the Bible where it says at two certain times during the day you need to do that? Okay. This was another one of those perfect examples where God got put in a box by humans. And they said, this is how we're going to see God. God wants us to do this. And then they turn around and teach it like it's law. Okay, you will do this. And all of a sudden it became that way. That you will pray at these certain times. So, for them, it was being very sanctus. Being very, you know, not like the group sanctus real, but being very, yeah, ritualistic. They just went through the motions. You know what I mean? And so they would do that. And they would stop. And they actually liked to have it happen that way so that people could see them and hear them. Make them feel pretty special. Because here it says, they like to stop there in order to be seen by men. What did the last one that I read say? In order to be what by men? In the first section, when I was talking about the giving, they like to give alms so that they can be... Yeah, in that one it was honored. Last time it was they wanted to be honored by men. They wanted men to go, oh, you're special, oh, you give so much, oh, you're so righteous. This one, yeah, but this one they actually do it out in public to be seen by people. And the net result was that they might be, I'm sure, to be honored. But it was just a different way in which it was approached. And it says, for truly I say to you, just like last time, what kind of reward do they have? All of it. Right there. It says they have their reward in full. They did it in front of people expecting something. And they got it. They didn't do it for God. Their religious activity, their act of righteousness. He says, when you practice your act of righteousness in front of men, beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Whether honored, seen, whatever. To be noticed by them, to be acknowledged of them. But you are to be doing your act of righteousness. You should be. It says we're supposed to fast. It says we're supposed to pray. It says we're supposed to give. When you do, do it because God has laid it on your heart to do it. But when you pray, you switch it. When that's what they do, and it's wrong. Now, I'm going to talk to you. When you pray, so again, second time you said in this section, when you pray, go into your inner room where you can shut your door and pray to your Father who sees you in secret. And your Father, who sees you in secret, will repay you. Remember, I also pointed out that everything you do isn't a secret to God. But what's even less a secret to God that we can see here? What do you think when he says go into your inner room? You think that's a place? Yeah.
Bedroom.
Bedroom would work.
Your heart.
Huh?
Your heart.
Your heart. So, if you could still be out on that street corner, couldn't you? But you don't have to. And you could bow your head. And people could see you. I know a guy who told me that, you know, he went out of the country and he was working with somebody a lot, and that he and his wife would always say grace. Just because they did. Because it was the right thing to do. They did not do it because they were with him. They didn't do it because they were with him. They did it because they did it. In time, this young man asked them about God. And they said, well, why did you come to that point? And he goes, well, because you guys would say grace every day. I knew, you know, you were real about it. But they didn't do it for a show. They didn't sit there, but they, when they prayed over their food, they went into their inner room. They went into their heart of hearts. You know one of the neatest things about your inner room is? If it's the holy place, the world can't follow you. The enemy can't come in there. And we all have different rooms. We all have a porch to our lives. And most of the time we'll let anybody on the porch. Sometimes there's certain people we won't let on the porch. Most of the time we'll let anybody on the porch. A lot of times we'll let people come inside into the living room. But there's other rooms, like our inner room, that we keep people out of. Sometimes there are rooms we don't want them to go in because what's in those rooms we don't want them to see. And those are parts of our lives we don't want anybody to know about. But this is the inner room in your heart that basically is who you are. How well do you know it? That inner room. You think you know it pretty good? Most of us don't. This week, if you were to sit in on a class that I get a chance to substitute teach, you would hear we're going to talk about 1, judging. 2, we're going to talk about, it's really interesting, we're going to talk about how when we, after conversion, there are these two lines that diverge from each other. One is the seeing of the holiness of God, and the other is seeing the wretchedness of man. And do you know that you can't see one without the other happening more? The more holy you see God, now is God becoming more holy over time? Okay, you're just actually seeing him more clearly for who he is. And do you know that as you see him more clearly for who he is, you can't help but see you more clearly for who you are? And the cross, what's the gap of what he saved you from, just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you're just going, praise God. You know, and then it's become just so much more of a part of your life. But if you inherently don't see yourself as too bad, God doesn't have to be too big to take care of you. And it's funny how those lines will close in or move away. They either become a magnet this way or magnet their top of this one. But they move together. You can't have this one go up and then also flatline on this one. You can't have not see a holiness of God that really ought to, but your understanding of your sinfulness keeps increasing. They kind of go like in here, I'm not too bad, God's not too big. And they just, they'll grow together. And so, you have to be really careful. things you have to be careful of is doing your own searching, doing your own inspection. God says that we need to say, search me, O Lord, so that you know what's in my heart. Let's move on here. So we talked about the fact that you go into your inner room and you talk to the Lord. But you can do that anywhere. But basically it needs to be from the heart. Now let's look how this next one goes. Well, when you're praying, don't use meaningless repetition like the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard by their many words. So he's saying, go in your inner room, but don't sit there and just ramble off a bunch of stuff over and over and over again. Does it mean that you can't repeat something? Does it mean that you can't take the same prayer back more than once? Did the Lord Himself in the garden not go back a third time and say the same thing? But what He said was totally His heart. He wasn't just sitting there rambling off meaningless words. Oh, you know, like some people say, when you see people and they're really getting into their prayers, you know, sometimes they change from normal talk to a deeper tone, and usually King James. Oh Lord, that thou might come into our presence. And, you know, and then sometimes it's like they're not sure God knows they're talking to Him. And so the Lord, that you might know this Lord, that I might talk to you Lord, that I might be, you know, and I'm going, don't, not, you know, you have to watch, you know, how you do things. Are you doing things to, you know, do you get into a show mode? Or, and do you not do it on purpose? Do you do it because that's how you've learned to do it? And he goes, don't do it for any outside purpose. Make sure it's your heart crying out to the living God, telling Him you're praising Him, telling Him you need Him, telling Him you're hurting for somebody else. But let it be your heart that just cries out to God, knowing the living God wants to hear you. He goes on to say, therefore, do not be like them with those meaningless words, for your Father already knows what you need before you ask Him. Some would say, well, then why bother? So let me ask you, why bother? Why do you think you should bother praying if God already knows? Does He know you know? In so doing, are you acknowledging your need, not His? See, you could just sit back and be fatalistic and say, God's sovereign, He's going to do whatever He's going to do, so why bother praying? It's going to happen, whatever's going to happen. But what if God is saying, I want you to learn from this situation? So He puts you in the midst of a trial. And He's saying, will you see me in it? Will you seek me through it? Will you come to me because of it? And you go, but you already know. I know. I want you to know. What makes your faith grow? What makes your muscles grow?
Working out.
Exercising them?
Mm-hmm.
Doing the same thing? Okay. But knowing that by doing a certain thing, by exercising those muscles, they'll grow stronger. How do you think your faith will grow?
By exercising your prayer life.
But what if I didn't pray and it just happened? What if I pray and it does happen? Now what if I pray and it doesn't happen? What if I pray and what I pray for doesn't happen?
That's not meant to be.
In a lot of ways, yeah. And one of the ways is, did this say that God knows what you want before you ask? Is that what I read? I think I read, God knows what you need before you ask. Big difference in the two? Hopefully, in a lot of cases, they're one and the same. What you want is what you need, but most cases, what you want isn't what you need. You know? Like in a lot of cases, like, you know, for young people, what you want is freedom, and what you need are rules and regulations. You know? What you want is acceptance of excuses, and what you need is discipline. What you want, like I said, it's freedom, but what you really need is that framework to live within. Funny, when we have those kids in from Teen Challenge, and they have, you know, they've gone through a lot of struggles, and you ask them, and one after another, they would say, if you could do anything, just one, pray for us, two, don't always believe us, don't let us get away with stuff. You've got to hold us accountable. You've got to, if you do, you're doing us the greatest disservice because you're just letting us, you know, think. You're empowering us to be whatever it is the flesh is telling us to be, because we're going to want to be that. And if you don't stop us from being who we are, we'll become who we are, not who we should be. So, you know, it's the God does the same thing. He gives us what we need. I'm going to go through just a little bit here into this next one, and then we'll finish next week in that section. And it says, therefore, like I said, don't be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask. So it says, pray then. So now, again, third time he's told you to pray. When you pray, this time he says, pray then like this. He told you how not to, right? He's told you two or three ways not to. Don't do it to be seen of men. Don't do it with a bunch of words. Do it in your inner room. And do it knowing He knows what you need before you ask. Before I read this, I'm going to pop over here and read it. Psalms 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou dost know when I sit down and when I rise up. And you know, you understand me and my very thoughts from afar. And you can scrutinize my path. And you can tell my lying down. And you, O Lord, are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, you already know my thought. You know it all. God knows you. Kind of goes with it. He also knows what you need. Do we all need the same thing? No. We're coming up different lines. We need different things in our lives. You know, sometimes He knows we need to walk through a little bit of junk to realize how good we had it. Or have it. And, you know, sometimes we just don't know why we need what He allows us to have. But we just pray we get out of it what He's trying to teach us. Big thing is, just remember, if you don't get it and He thinks you really need it, that lesson's coming back around. It'll come a different way, but it's coming back. If you need it until you get it, He's going to keep coming, because God loves you that much. Kind of like us as parents. If we know you guys need some, we're going to keep bringing it back around. Nope, there's that rule. Nope, there's, you know, we got to bring it. You have to. But He says, pray then this way. Our Father, who art in heaven. So the first thing you do is you acknowledge the Lord as your Father, who loves you, who cares for you, who knows what you need, who wants better for you than you want for yourself, who is in heaven, preparing a place for you, waiting for you, wanting you to come there, fulfilled. Hallowed be thy name. Can anybody tell me what religion you think came from, got its name from Babers? Yeah. Hallowed be thy name. Anybody, can anybody tell me what Jehovah means? Yahweh? No, that's Yeshua. Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus the Messiah. Joshua. Same name as Joshua in the Old Testament. A lot of similarities, we'll talk about that another time. But Jehovah. Jehovah means I am that I am. Nobody was to use the word Jehovah. They were only supposed, that was outlawed. You were only supposed to use Adonai or Elohim or another name, El Shaddai, El Rama, the God who saves, the God who provides. And they were the God who heals. And they were all more description. But the true, when Moses said, who should I tell them? Set me. That was where he used Jehovah. Tell them I am that I am. Why do you think he said that? Who were the gods that he was going to go back? Who were the gods that they knew? Think of most of the gods that you learn about in school and they tell you that were the mythological gods.
Roman and Greek gods.
Okay, but this was even pre that, but these would have been the Egyptian gods in that time, but then there were these others. But anybody know, I mean, some of the gods that the Egyptians had? Anybody know who Ra was?
Yeah,
R-A-G. I thought it was R-A or might be R-A. But anyway, sun. Why? Because you needed it. Moon, that was it. You know, basically, anything that was huge and unexplained, the Nile was the god to them. Because it was a source of water, it gave food, it flooded, it had time. You know, there were gods. There were bad gods. And then there were gods of Diana, love gods. There were all kinds of gods that explained to them different things. Now, who put the sun out there? God did. He goes, I am not the sun. I'm not the moon. I'm not the rain. I made all those. I am that I am. I'm not dependent on anything. I'm God whether you believe I am or not. And I'm God no matter how you believe me to be. You're not going to change who I am. I'm not dependent on you for anything. Everything else was. Everything else was made by man. To be a God. God says, I don't need you. I am that I am. And why did they try to kill Jesus Christ? What was the main reason?
Because they thought he was saying he was something
he wasn't. He thought he was claiming to be God. That was blasphemy. And how did he claim to be God?
That he was Jehovah.
The word he used was before Abraham was, and then he seemed to use improper English.
I am.
He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said before Abraham was, I am. And he claimed to be the great I am. He, because, what did I say? One of the things God did about the Son, God said, I made it. Who made the Son? Jesus did. It says, by Him, through Him, and for Him was everything made that was made. In the Old Testament, a lot of people miss it, but it says, and they said, we made man in our image. It has to be more than one to be an R. God spoke it into being. Because the Word, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among man. The Word was Jesus Christ. The Word came to reveal the Father. Again, another whole subject. So that's what we're going to end tonight, is basically verse 9. And the fact that we want to know what kind of God we have. But you have to go into your inner room and talk to your Heavenly Father from your heart, knowing how holy He is. Basically, you start out, that's the very first part of prayer. If you don't approach it that way, it's useless. If you don't see God as that kind of God, now you didn't go through the class with me, but when I taught through the book of James, anybody know who James is? Yeah, besides that. How about Jesus? How about Jesus' half brother? Okay. Jesus' half brother James wrote the book of James. You think his half brother had trouble seeing Jesus Christ as God when he was walking around preaching this? When he was walking around giving the Sermon on the Mount? Do you think he and his other brothers had any trouble seeing Jesus as God?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
When they're growing up,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think they probably wrestled with him. They threw dirt clods at him. They probably had normal kid fights. Might even punched him. Who knows? You know, I don't know if anybody gave him a bloody nose. I don't know. You know, but they were brothers. You know, what was that like? I don't know, but they saw him in the flesh. And how do you take something that you acknowledge in the flesh and make it godly? And they struggled with that. They actually made fun of him. Pretty much said, hey, hot shot, just go on up where everybody thinks you're really special. Just head on up to Jerusalem. They think you're pretty cool. And it's just, I mean, almost mocking him, making fun of him. But then it says that after he died, he appeared specifically to James. Now, when James wrote the book of James, he didn't say, he said, I come to you in the name of the Father and my Lord Jesus Christ. Not my brother who I now see as God, but my Lord Jesus Christ, I write to you, brothers. And he acknowledged that they were his brothers. The one thing that was unique about James is James was no nonsense. Just like Jesus, he said, either you'll see me for who I am, or you don't. It's kind of like being pregnant. You're not sort of pregnant. You are, or you aren't. You're not sort of. Kind of. He's not kind of God. He is, or he isn't. And if he is, then go to Him, believe in Him. When you ask Him for something, believe He's able. Believe He is who He says He is. James said, don't even bother Him. Don't pray if you don't believe. Why would you? James James was just point blank. Hey, he's either God all the time or he's not. He's not God when you feel like he's God. And not when you don't.
I don't feel too Christian today. I just can't see him as God today.
He didn't quit being God. Remember the I am that I am? And I don't need you to be who I am? I'm not going to quit being God because you don't see me as much God today. Or because maybe you're struggling with God in your life and seeing him for how you grew up thinking you saw him. He doesn't quit being who he is just because you quit seeing him and you see him differently now. He'll be right there when you come back around. Kind of like that footsteps in the sand and you start wandering on. You go, God, where were you? I was right there with you. I ain't going anywhere. You're the one that walked on. You're the one that quit looking at me. You're the one that didn't see me anymore. I only saw you. God's always the same. He doesn't change. We do. And our view of him does. And he goes, you need to come to me acknowledging who I am. You need to come to me seeing me in my holiness. Or don't come and pray. Because if you don't, you reduce me to be just like any of the other world gods that people go to. The worthless, meaningless babbling that goes to those gods. You don't see me for who I am. That has to be first. That has to be absolute. If that's not there, then your prayer is wasted. You don't see me as that kind of God. That's just the bottom line. Your prayers don't have to be big, mighty, fancy. It's not the quantity, but it's that quality. It's not the length, but it's the strength of the prayer that matters. And so, we need to not have attitudes like hypocrites. Don't pray to be seen. Pray only because it's the right thing to do. Pray because you believe he's God. Pray from your heart. It doesn't matter if it makes it out your mouth. It doesn't matter if it physically shows in your body. It doesn't matter. You can be praying with your eyes wide open driving down the street. It just comes in your heart. It can be a real simple thing. God help that. God, please minister to them. God, get that thought out of my mind. God, don't make me that way. God, please let me be this one. God, let this be your day. Take it over. God, forgive me. So many of them. But we're going to cover some more of the specifics next week. So that's all we'll do for today. So let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are God and that you hear us and that you love us and that you care about what goes on in our lives. But Lord, the only way our lives can be changed and transformed and renewed is if we see you for who you are and see us as the someone who really needs that in our lives. So we just pray that you would help us with our prayer life. Give us the ability to be the people you want us to be. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Between 39 and 40, I'm guessing.
59.